Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. Great performances begin with a comfortable close shave from Gillette. Gillette, making men's lives just that little bit easier.
Game on 2FM.
With Gillette. New SkinGuard Sensitive Razor. The first razor of its kind designed to stop irritation on sensitive skin. Gillette, the best a man can get.
And you're welcome to Game On here on 2FM. It's Hugh Cal with you until 7 o'clock tonight. Coming up on the show, Lindsay Gibbs on the USA World Cup win, plus a chance for the Republic of Ireland to pit their wits against the back-to-back world champions in America. Mark Langdon on Pogba, Gary Monk and Neymar's next move. Greg Allen's going to look back on a brilliant Irish Open in Lahinch. And Stephen Higgins is just back from Wimbledon to give us all the latest ahead of the men's quarterfinals, the women's semi-finals and everything to come for the rest of the week. 51552 is our text number at Game On 2FM. If you want to get in touch on Twitter, I'm delighted to say I have Stephen Higgins and Greg Allen with me in studio. You're welcome, gentlemen. How are we?
Hey, Hugh. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Steve, good form.
Good.
Just back from Wimbledon. Good atmosphere. Things building nicely.
Had a load of strawberries and cream, which is like the most important thing.
Yeah. I mean, is that actually the done thing over there, or is that just...
I will be honest. I was a little underwhelmed. They're not as good as Wexford strawberries.
Really? Actually, how could they be?
Bring it up with the authorities there, but...
You never know. They might change their supplier if we push it on them for next year. But has the atmosphere been good? I mean, we've had the Women's World Cup. You know, obviously Gaelic Games dominating here as well, and a few other sideshow stories as well. But in terms of Wimbledon and tennis, do you think it's holding its own this year?
I think, actually, the match on behind us on the screen, the mixed pairing of Andy Murray and Serena Williams is an incredible thing for the sport. And mixed doubles itself is actually one of the forgotten parts of tennis, because the prize money usually isn't as good, and I don't believe they give ranking points for it either at Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And that's part of the reason then why the big players don't enter it. But if you see the Hotman Cup, which is an exhibition event at the start of the year, we had for the first time Roger Federer playing against Serena Williams when the US took on Switzerland. And it was the only thing that anyone talked about in tennis. And now they've gotten rid of the Hotman Cup for changes to the ATP Tour. And I think they're really missing out on a trick, because an exhibition mixed where you get to see all these players together, and then a competitive mixed event sometime during the year would be brilliant, because you want to see loads more.
Absolutely. And there are very few sports where, you know, competition exists with men and women allowed to play alongside each other. And this, as you say, is a prime example to kind of grasp that nettle, if you like.
Absolutely. And they love it. Like, the women love it to test it against the men's serves, and the men love as well to play against the best players. So there's nothing negative about it. Everyone wants to see, if you think of the partnerships even per country, if you had like Nishikori and Naomi Osaka together, and, you know, some of the Garbiñe Muguruza and Rafa Nadal, it's unbelievable in a calendar that's so bloated with so many events that people don't really pay attention to, that there should be a brilliant mixed event for a week that's competitive.
Greg, you were a class one player back in the day. I don't want to remind you how old you are, but it was back in the day, this stage. Did you play much mixed doubles?
I actually did played enough of them.
Yeah.
A complete head wrecker.
Yeah.
Back then, in pre-Me Too times, you weren't allowed to serve flat out to the woman.
Yeah.
If you did,
which is
you
now completely gone.
Oh, you must serve flat out, because obviously it's equality in every sense.
Yeah.
And it was a head wrecker, because there was a sort of an etiquette to perform while you were playing, and you couldn't ever, you know, slam the ball straight at the woman on the other side of the net. If that, you literally, it's a sending off offence, a red card offence.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was a brilliant game to play when you, I mean, I played, say, Carroll's Club doubles, which would have been classic back in the day, a very sociable event, but really, really competitive. It would absorb Fitzwilliam for the entire day. And it was one of those events where, I suppose, the best part of the social aspect of tennis is summed up by mixed doubles.
I totally agree.
It's so entertaining a game to watch at the top level as well, because there's a lot of artistry and reaction times, which are just not what you expect from when you've got an Nadal playing against even a top ranked woman, or be it in this case Serena.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's extraordinarily evenly matched. You find that women outplay men in certain aspects of mixed doubles because of the subtlety to the game that they see. And I always can't say I ever loved mixed doubles, but I was thrilled by it, enthralled by it. It was a really, it's such a part of tennis that is unique in terms of the great panoply of sport. It's as you said, not too many sports are played with a man and a woman on one
There's
side
a unique
of the
sporting chemistry about it, right?
Well, you have it in badminton as well.
Exactly,
And in fact, badminton is almost as enthralling a sport in mixed form.
We spoke to a couple of the participants, Selin Upu included, who are heading off to the Touch World Cup, Touch Rugby World Cup, which again is a combined sport, men and women able to play equally alongside, and they spoke about how much they enjoyed that, because there are a few sports that allow you that opportunity. But equally here, look, we have to call a spade, everyone's delighted to see Andy Murray back playing competitive tennis, and that's a key part of why this is so popular.
Well, when he had his tearful press conference after losing to Roberto Bautista Agut in Australia in a brilliant match, when he couldn't walk, basically, and it had been 2 years or so of agony, and his mother would be in the box watching him just in agony all the time, you thought, this is the last we'll do.
This is the end.
And I did my retirement piece of Andy Murray and the tributes to him. Mm-hmm. So it's brilliant, as someone who's had my own hip operation, yeah, to see not only that he's pain-free, but that there seems to be no real limitation on his movement, or so he says. So for the first time this week, he talked about how, I don't see why I couldn't go back to playing singles. Interesting, almost like a little dig at the next gen. The game hasn't really moved on or something in the time since. So he probably thinks, why couldn't I challenge the lads like I used to? Because, you know,
yeah, exactly.
The next gen aren't getting
but
wins.
I just behind you there, but it's before to win the game, he's just hit a diving volley cross court and almost came down. So look, now there can't be too much wrong with him if he's moving like that.
Well, all the field, it's the hip, so it's the movement, and it's the getting the lateral movement side to side. In terms of the serve and the power and the volleys and the feel and all, they should be with him until the end, really.
Exactly. Well, the only thing I'll say about that is, and this is now going back down through the ages, back around 84, McEnroe retired for about 10 months and came back, and he never won a tour event again. He just wasn't the same player. You step away from the game for even that length of period of time through injury or through just choice, as it was in McEnroe's case. And McEnroe, I think, was only 26 at the time, and he effectively stepped away from the game, tried to come back, and he was a good player again, just not a great player, as the phrase goes. And I just don't see, what is he, 31 now, Murray? And
it's his 32,
game, 32. And his game is so built on movement. I mean, he's just one of the great retrievers. Probably only Djokovic I've ever seen is a better retriever.
Yeah.
When your game is so based on movement, I think, you know, playing doubles is masking perhaps some of the degree of movement, which he may not quite have by comparison to when his hip was 100%.
I want to bring in Lindsay Gibbs, if I can, from the Burn It All Down podcast and regular on the show, to talk a little bit more about this before we move on to the World Cup. Lindsay, great to have you on with us.
Thanks for having me back.
Oh, no, it's great. And look, just on Serena Williams, I mean, she came through a bit of a struggle to reach her semi-final. There's a few people now starting to question, you know, is she still as dominant as she once was? I don't know what your view is on that. She is in a semi-final. She does have Margaret's record in terms of major games in sight, and can pass that with two more. But what's your view on where she's at the moment?
I mean, look, she's not as dominant as she once was. That's not an insult to her greatness by any means. That's more of a testament to just how dominant she was a few years ago and for about, you know, 8 years there. But she still has the ability to beat any player on the tour any given day. And I think what you've seen this fortnight is she's really worked herself into form. She's found her confidence. She's found her shots. She had a really tough quarterfinal against another American, Allison Risk, today, which she won 6-4 in the third. And she said, I wouldn't have won this match at the beginning of the tournament. You know, so she's, I think right now, you know, we're in the semifinals. She's absolutely the favorite from here on out. And I think this would be her most remarkable win ever.
It would. You know, it'd be great to see it, I have to say. And we're going to talk tennis a little bit later on with Stephen in front of me here.
Game on to FM.
And you're very welcome back. 51552 is our text number. Crosscourtview.com will give you all of Stephen Higgins' tennis analysis. I'm delighted to say he's with us in studio. And can you give us an old update there? They've taken the first, have they?
They have, Hugh. It's 7-5-2 in the first set to Serena Williams and Andy Murray in the much-anticipated their second mixed doubles match. And from what it seems, was actually Murray was letting the side down with the returns, and Serena started zoning with some return winners. So it's very exciting, actually, a packed house in centre court for a late match.
Yeah, it's a great game. Okay, so look, I mean, staying with the women then, before we move on to the men, Serena coming through today, given a bit of a scare, but she's through to a semi-final. What's your perception of her form at the moment?
It's improved a lot with time. The first match wasn't great. I saw the second match. I was there when she lost the first set to a qualifier. She's probably the largest difference between her best form and her worst form. It's the widest range probably of someone of her ilk, where from point to point and game to game, she can go from, you know, absolutely crunching a forehand winner or hitting it in the net randomly. But when she hits her peak level, it's an awful lot higher than everyone else. So she got better through the first. She kind of survived the first two, was very good in the third, and she's looking very good now, serving well, moving pretty well. She's into her 10th semi-final at Wimbledon, and she's won all 10.
Okay, so that's a pretty phenomenal record. I'm not, as you kind of mentioned in your notes to us earlier on today, like, Naomi Osaka's gone, we had Maria Sharapova going out earlier, an awful lot of upsets on the women's draw early on.
The big ones to affect was Ash Barty, the world number one, who loves Wimbledon, was a Wimbledon junior champion, and just won Roland Garros, she would have been facing Serena, and then she got knocked out. So she was a surprise. And then Pliskova on the other side. But yeah, Angelique Kerber as well went out early, the defending champion. So it really opened it up for Serena. And she'd be playing Barbora Strizova, who beat Konta today. I can't see her losing to Barbora Strizova in the semi-final of Wimbledon. I could be wrong. I've been wrong about absolutely everything in the women's draw, but it'd be hard to see her losing to Strizova in the same way. And then on the other side, it's Elina Svitolina, who's finally through to a semi-final in a Grand Slam after loads of attempts. And then the familiar face of Simona Halep, former Roland Garros champion.
Yeah, okay. Is Goff the real deal? I know she's only 15. I know we've only just seen her.
I think we should throw loads of pressure on her right
loads
now.
Loads of pressure, just smother in media attention and then see what happens. No, but I mean, in terms of...
Yeah, very impressive. I think more so even the second match, the response to beating Venus in the first when she played, I think it was Rybarikova, who's a really good grass court player, was in the semis of Wimbledon, I think, a few years back. And she was so calm under pressure. And she's loads of weapons and she's a brilliant athlete and she serves 115, 120 miles an hour. There's loads of time for her to take the tennis world by storm. I just wouldn't, let's not go mad about putting on, why hasn't she won four Grand Slams
Absolutely.
Already?
And they're going to limit, she's going to be limited by our professional tournaments as well.
Is women's tennis really struggling to find the star? I mean, you've had the Venus and then Serena and obviously Sharapova, but there's nobody has emerged who's been a consistent star, and they've all seemed to have fallen away when they've reached the world number one spot and allowed someone else up.
I think there was a problem a few years back when kind of Ivanovic, Jankovic, or a few of them kind of got to number one and didn't hold on. I actually think for once in this tournament, I felt the opposite, where the men's draw is incredibly boring because the three guys just stroll through and there's almost no opposition. And I was a bit disappointed with people, you know, like Thiem, Tsitsipas, who I expected a really strong tournament for, and they went out really early. And say, for instance, Thiem, who, now grass isn't his best surface, but he's never been past the fourth round at Wimbledon. And even players of his kind of level before, like Thomas Berdych, at the same age, he'd had been past four times in the quarterfinal and had beaten Federer on centre court in his famous run. And he's just kind of like, you need to be steadier. Federer is into his 17th quarterfinal, like at Wimbledon, just at Wimbledon, like, you know. And like, you need to... They need to up their level a bit, like, to get that kind of consistency.
You can make an argument that the men's game as well, particularly, is going to struggle. Like, obviously, Roger Federer, I'd say a year, 2 years more, at max, just at his age level, his body can't keep doing what he's doing. Rafael Nadal, we know, has been injury prone, breaking down, coming back. I wonder again how much longer he can go. Andy Murray, will he ever get back? We don't know the answer to that. There is nobody really grasping the nettle here. And I don't want to say that the players coming through are just not good enough, but from what we have seen, there's no star emerging. And this is a problem.
There is a combination. I mean, they are probably the three greatest players ever in one era. It's just, you know, you want to see them kind of building and building and building. Now, Tsitsipas was doing that at the start of the season and he's beaten all the main guys. But, you know, you shouldn't be kind of... You're hoping anyway as a fan or a spectator that you're getting deep in one Grand Slam and then you're getting deep in the next one, then you're getting deep. It isn't kind of up or down and out in the second round.
Okay.
So Zverev is really struggling to transition from winning the ATP finals and winning big Masters Series events, and he's really struggled altogether in all the Grand Slams.
Yeah, can you see Federer doing it this year?
I think he has a good chance. The problem is the courts are incredibly slow and a lot of players have given out about it. Djokovic should be favoured, and Djokovic should get through, and it'll be probably Federer and Nadal in
it's
the semi.
It's suit Nadal if they're slow then, right?
Yeah, it'll be Federer and Nadal in the semi, hopefully, or probably, and it'll be the first time they've met since the famous 2008 final. You'd probably favour Nadal because it's slower, and then Nadal Djokovic final.
Finally, in the last 20 seconds, Kyrgios, good for the game or bad for the game?
It depends on each sentence and each point, almost. I'm a bit mixed, I'm not sure. I think so.
You know what, if he had the talent to back up his mouth, I think he would be brilliant.
Yeah,
I think
in one quote he can be brilliant, but you can't keep losing early in Grand Slams and then start mouthing off against Nadal and Djokovic.
Okay, that's a fair point. Stephen, thanks so much for coming in, appreciate it. We'll see how the rest of the week pans out. At the moment, Celtic no goals after 12 minutes of their game in their Champions League qualifier against... Where are they gone? FK Sarajevo and Rangers in action this evening against St. Joseph's. 4-0 they managed to win that one, so they're on track. And Steven Gerrard, well, look, he didn't go to Newcastle, isn't it? Greg, thank you so much for your time.
Appreciate it
as always. Enjoy the Scottish Open this week. We'll have our big build up to the Open Championship next week. Roland Lauder produced, Andy DePere was our BCO, and we are back tomorrow. We'll take a break and we've got the news on the way.